This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. 10 years ago today, an 85-year-old investment bank named Bear Stearns became the very public face of the financial crisis in this economy. Only a $29 billion loan guarantee from the Federal Reserve and J.P. Morgan stepping up with a buyout kept Bear from actual bankruptcy. The company, though, was ruined. The first real domino to fall as the crisis unfolded that summer of 2008. Our project about the crisis and how the 10 years since have changed this country is called Divided Decade, and we are marking the collapse of Bear Stearns a decade ago today by looking at the financial infrastructure that made the crisis so contagious and whether things might be different now. Marketplace's Bree Benishore has the story.
Bear Stearns was a Wall Street titan, and when it started to look like it was failing under the weight of bad bets on mortgages, people started to panic.
Bear Stearns today leading the tumble on Wall Street, the stock plunging 45%.
That panic spread fast.
Bear Stearns shares are down 90% this morning, and it's not just Bear. Pretty much every single bank is plunging in early trade this morning.
The Federal Reserve and J.P. Morgan stepped in and bailed out Bear.
After Bear was resolved, I think there was a sense of relief for a little bit.
Michael Feroli is chief economist at J.P. Morgan and was working for the bank at the time. A few months later, Lehman Brothers failed. Then insurer AIG collapsed.
Everyone was, I think, looking around and saying, all right, you know, we've had a sequence of failures. Who's the next?
There have been a lot of bubbles and a lot of bad bets in financial history. But what set this financial crisis apart was its contagiousness. The bad bet underneath it all, the bad mortgages, the financial system has survived worse.
The size of the losses in the internet bubble in 2000 and 2001 were actually bigger than the size of the losses in the housing market in the Great Recession.
Chris Mayer is professor of real estate at Columbia Business School.
But a bunch of people who had had paper profits and lost money in the internet bubble didn't destabilize the financial system.
The difference was that small losses were magnified through such a system of layers and layers of debt.
Annette Admati teaches at Stanford School of Business. Banks borrowed to make bad bets and then didn't have a lot of money in reserve. So when they lost their bets, they didn't have much of a cushion.
It was a very, very interconnected, intertwined web of commitments, like a house of cards.
And of course, to make matters worse, they were all making the same bad bet on mortgages that had been repackaged so often that nobody quite knew if they were even exposed or not. One question often asked today is whether there are other assets out there that are as deeply interwoven within the system and as poorly understood.
You will often see people allege things like car loans are the new subprime housing, or student loans are the new subprime housing.
Austin Goolsbee teaches economics at Chicago's Booth School. He chaired the Council of Economic Advisors under Obama.
They may be things that there are a lot of defaults on, but that's different from this is a thing that's going to bring down the financial system and spread from institution to institution.
Banks haven't piled layer upon layer of bet after bet on car loans and student loans, and these assets and markets are pretty well understood.
The banks themselves have tried to reduce the amount of debt and leverage they have. There are a variety of ways they've tried to limit the amount of fire spreading.
Of course, in 2010, President Obama signed the Dodd-Frank Wall Street Reform and Consumer Protection Act, a sprawling law that, among many other things, required banks to hold more capital to cushion against losses.
I think the law we passed will prevent the problems that caused the last crisis from recurring.
Congressman Barney Frank, now retired, was the Frank in Dodd-Frank. He was one of the sponsors.
But you don't know what the new problems are. You know, one of the problems is the financial system innovates and regulations don't always catch up.
Frank worries the current administration isn't putting enough resources to regulators.
What worries me is that our ability to find the next problem, they've diminished that capacity.
Stanford's Anat Admati is a lot more pessimistic than that.
They've changed very little, unfortunately. The system is still incredibly fragile.
But one big defense against another financial crisis may be the fact that we're still talking about the last one. Kenneth Rogoff is professor of economics and public policy at Harvard.
If you really ask the big picture on why we're less vulnerable today, some of it has to do with regulation, but a lot of it has to do with that people are just still so on edge, even 10 years after the financial crisis. They're so chastened by that experience.
There is something to be said for the old expression, once burned, twice shy. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
The thing about Bear Stearns was that it was the first one to go, so everybody involved remembers where they were when it happened. That includes a guy named Ben Bernanke.
With Bear Stearns, I very well remember the conversation. I was on my cell phone getting out to the car in the morning, and Tim and Hank were on the phone, and we were saying, well, here's how we could do it. Should we do it or not? What are the pros? What are the cons? And we decided, okay, it's a go. We're going to do it. So we agreed to do it. We never had that conversation with Lehman because we never had a viable option.
Former Fed Chair Ben Bernanke, my conversation with him and former Treasury Secretaries Hank Paulson and Timothy Geithner, the four of us sitting around a couple of microphones talking for an hour or so, coming up on Monday.